everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, once again, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and front man, flying solo once again. But either way, welcome to a brand new episode. Just this week, it might be a short episode, just wanted to catch you guys up on a few news items that have come across my desk over the past few weeks, and kind of fill in a couple of gaps, or at least one gap from last week that I forgot to mention, and kind of update you with newer information in regards to it. So it doesn't really matter. So let's start with that, and that's pertaining to the Justice League. I've been hearing a lot of information coming in reference to its current earnings, or not so much its current earnings, but there has been kind of a DC fan base conspiracy theory behind it. I don't remember if I covered it properly last week, because last week I might have said something in reference to it not earning too much, but I've been having a cold. You could probably still hear it in my voice in regards to how I sound nasally, because of how I'm sounding nasally and so forth and so on. But when the Justice League first came out, that first weekend it earned roughly $92 million, way below expectations. And after that, it kind of bumped up a little bit more to about 110. As of this recording, it is about, let's see here, it is at 171 million, let's say 172, because that is a 9. $172 million, at least here domestically. What a lot of the DC fanboys have been saying, that is domestically, that is not worldwide. Therefore, it is doing way better than any Marvel movie that is out there. How dare you use the domestic numbers? That's what a lot of people tend to use. And like everybody that spouts these numbers, again, these are just estimate numbers. These are not what the studio will be bringing in when everything is said and done. That being said, is the studio, Warner Brothers, is projecting that worldwide, not domestically, they're using the worldwide number in this overall projections. They are projecting that the total gross that Justice League will be bringing in at the end of its theatrical run will be $700 million. I repeat, $700 million. And Warner Brothers has been saying that in order to start to earn a profit of any sorts, Justice League has to earn minimum of $800 million worldwide to start to earn a profit. Because it hasn't given out the budget yet. Box Office Mojo has not given out a budget. It is projected that this movie has, in order to be made, cost roughly between $150 to $200 million to make, plus another $200 million roughly in advertising costs, which a lot of people have not seen in reference to the advertising. That means, well, what a lot of people will say, well, if they make $700 million worldwide, then it's a blockbuster and they made more than that. No, again, with that number, as we stated before, with the emails that have been released in reference to Disney, that they wanted 67% of the ticket sales for Star Wars. That means Warner Brothers could have want anywhere up to 60% of, between 50 to 60% of ticket sales for Justice League as well. We don't know that number, so that's why the safe bet is 50%. That means at least $800 million total gross, And then once that number comes in, the theaters take their cut of $400 million, and the studio takes their cut of $400 million. Therefore, the movie breaks even. So it has to earn more than $800 million. And they're projecting it's not going to do that. It's only going to project $100 million loss. And because of this, not so much because of this, when the first numbers came out at $92 million, domestically, a lot of the fans are blaming Rotten Tomatoes and how the critics were totally supporting Marvel and not DC. The Justice League is the utter perfection of total movies out there, better than Star Wars, and depending on who you listen to, is better than Star Wars, better than any Oscar movie out there, yeah, better than, you know, whatever out there. If there was a Justice League negative one, it's better than that. It's better, it's, you know, it's more beautiful. CGI is more beautiful than Avatar, much better than, you know, the original Legend, much better than any movie out there. The CGI is great. The only thing that could be better is possibly Sharknado. That's sarcasm, and I'm poking fun at a lot of DC fans that are just way too loud and way too whiny for this. But again, my personal views is that if you go to Justice League and you kind of pull back with your DC fandom and just enjoy the film. Yes, it's kind of an okay film. It's not the best. That being said, the Marvel's Infinity War trailer just came out. What exactly happens is unknown. Some people, again, I'm going by the aspect that it's going to be Infinity War 1 and Infinity War 2. But who knows? We'll have to wait until March, April before this comes out. Or I think it comes out in May. By then, hopefully, I'll have some more interviews to come out between then and around about that time. But that's way a few months in advance. But that's being said, let's kind of move on away from Justice League, because that's a lot of news, and when more information comes out, I'll be more than happy to relay that information and that news on to you. But tell us what you think in reference to, if you're a DC fanboy or a Marvel fanboy, please write into the show and let us, if you've seen Justice League, let us know what your thoughts about it. We'll read your emails on the air. Our email is longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Like I said, the Infinity War trailer came out recently, and a lot of the DC fanboys say the CG in this sucks just as bad as our movie, if not worse. Just shut up and wait until the movie comes out. You'll probably see that it's probably still way better than Justice League, but still, I've heard fans say that with the current CW crossover event that they had from Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Flash, and Arrow, that was more of a Justice League movie than the Justice League movie, and part of me wants to agree with that argument that it was kind of more of a Justice League movie than the actual Justice League movie, but that's beside the point. Now let's kind of move on to the second thing. Now that we kind of pissed off all the DC fanboys and fangirls out there, let's piss off the freaking gamers, shall we? Because we had two bits of news, and yes, this will probably make this show a little bit short for this week and a little bit prior to the half-hour mark, on closer to the 20 minutes, but still, there's some news I want to come that came out over the past few weeks regarding loot boxes. Loot boxes. Oh, dear God, loot boxes. For a majority of you that do not game or play video games to a lot of extent, that what's been primarily been happening in a lot of the first-person shooter aspect of things, like Call of Duty, Halo, Destiny, Star Wars, Battlefront 2, etc., 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 has been this thing called loot boxes. Engrams, same bullshit. Basically, unlike something like Loot Crate, which is a valid, nice service, we're not officially sponsored. I don't think we are not, but still, which is a nice service. You get what you literally you get what you pay for with Loot Crate and their wonderful products that they do ship out on a monthly basis. Which reminds me, I gotta kind of renew our my subscription so I can do some more unboxings for y'all. But that's beside the point. That's a different type of Loot Crate or loot box. A physical loot box can be completely awesome and worthwhile and worth your money. Now, what tends to happen with loot boxes or loot crates or engrams in video games is that a lot of the companies like EA, Activision, Bungie, Take-Two, whomever, excuse me, what they tell you is that these crates do not affect your gameplay. Do not affect. Don't worry. It's not buy to win. Now, what a lot of people have said is that were some complaints is before I continue on with the story, because you have two aspects to this, is that a lot of people who are casual or the whatnot are worried is like, wait a minute, I pay $60 for a game. That's pre or post Black Friday. I'm paying $60 for a game, and here I am shelling out $5, $10, $15, $20 or more on loot boxes, engrams, or what have you, just to get either a better shader, better costume, better etc., etc., etc. And there are some games out there that do provide very rare weapons. I think CSGO was one of these loot crates type of deals that you could have gotten for physical cash. We kind of covered the CSGO fiasco, I think, either earlier this year or sometime last year, in reference to how some YouTubers were owning some of these CSGO lottery type deals that you paid for loot crates on Steam, and you were able to go through this site and pay them for certain values. You know, you got this rare weapon, not so much a rare weapon, but a weapon with a rare skin or a super rare skin. You were able to get real life money for this, because by circumventing Steam and certain loopholes and so forth and so on. But with now with like Bungie and Activision and so forth and so on in EA, you don't see that, because that loophole has been tightly closed. That you don't really see that, but you kind of still see that with Major League Gaming. It's just that titles like, or I should say, AAA gaming companies like EA and Bungie and Activision, what they're seeing is these free-to-play games that you get on your mobile device, like Candy Crush or Farmville, or yeah, that's an old score, but and games like that, or City of Heroes, or any number of mobile games that are free to download, but if you want to speed up, you have to pay them a couple bucks for certain better quote unquote better currency in order to level up faster or get better equipment. Or I know I used to play Clash of Clans, where you've seen a lot of people from other countries or people with more money just tossing hundreds upon hundreds of dollars into this game just so they could get better castles, better equipment, faster times to become stronger and level up quicker and have better militaries and better armies. And then they just go around decimating those who have to literally grind for days and weeks and months and just to get higher up, and just to set those people back to zero at whatever thing, which is kind of sad. But what happened with Elite, let's start with EA and Battlefront 2. Because Battlefront 2 was released mid-November, and what one Reddit person found out, he did the math, or she did the math, that it would take with the, because you were able to earn, quote-unquote, in-game currency, that it would take you over 40 hours to earn enough credits to get a loot box to get Darth Vader. If you wanted Darth Vader in Battlefront 2, you would have to grind for 40 hours just to unlock that, possibly unlock that character. And either that, or you could buy that character for $40. Meaning you could use real-life cash for the loot boxes to eventually earn that character. This pissed off a lot of people. It pissed off, some people say it pissed off Disney. And thus caused EA to temporarily turn off the loot boxes, then the loot system. First, they kind of reduced everything, but it still would have taken about, meaning that, we're sorry, we didn't mean to, have it set so high that it would take you 40 hours to earn this particular character. So we're going to adjust things a little bit, and there you go. And people, again, did the math and like, wait, and they pretty much called EA out on their shit and said, wait a minute, because of you reducing that price, you reduced what we earned per game. Thus, it would take us, instead of 40 hours, it takes us maybe 30 hours or the same 40 hours to get that same character. You didn't really do shit. And they caused an even bigger uproar. And Disney pretty much went, what the fuck? What are you doing to our franchise? What are you doing to this and that? And therefore, they told EA, shut it down. Shut it down. Stop it. Kill it. Instead of killing it, EA said, okay, we're going to just temporarily turn it off. Which, according to some, means that when the heat is off and nobody's looking, they're just going to turn it back on. And therefore, you're going to be back to earning $40 more, either shelling out $40, $80, $120, just to get the characters that you want to play with. And in one particular article, allow me to bring that article up, we had an interesting, Let's see here. Interesting. Well, there's been according to one. Why did it have to? Let's see here. There's according to PCGamer.com in reference. But all in all, with this, it's come out a few days ago that EA lost $3 million in stock, which means because of this fiasco, their stock went so far down that they, in essence, lost $3 billion. I repeat, they lost $3 billion, which meant the people who buy their stock went, oh shit, this ain't good. You're going to be losing money. We're out. And in essence, instead of going up, they went down and thus lost $3 billion. And in PC Gamer article, it says this, interesting, while there have been reports of Disney's displeasure with EA over this whole mess, EA CFO Blake Jorgensen said at the Credit Suisse Annual Technology Media Telecom Conference via Polygon that it was actually a commitment to Star Wars canon and quote-unquote realism that led to led it to fill Battlefront 2 loot boxes with credits, star cards, and similar items rather than throw away cosmetics that don't have any impact on gameplay. Quote, "The one thing we're very focused on, and they are extremely focused on, is not violating the canon of Star Wars." He said, "It's an amazing brand that's been built over many, many years, and so if you did a bunch of cosmetic things, you might start to violate the canon, right? Darth Vader in white probably doesn't make sense versus in black. Not to mention you probably don't want Darth Vader in pink. No offense to pink, but I don't think that's the right in the canon." So, and the quote continues, "So there might be things that we can do cosmetically, and we're working on with Lucasfilm on that. But coming into it, it wasn't easy as if we were building a game around our own IP where it didn't really matter. It matters in Star Wars because Star Wars fans want realism. It's Admiral..." And that's the end of the quote. But the thing is, in the first Battlefront, or the Battlefront that came out like a year or two ago for PS4 and Xbox One, there was Heroes versus Villains, I think it was, where you could have someone like Darth Maul go up against Darth Vader, or Luke Skywalker versus Darth Maul. Just players that, or villains and heroes that could not didn't meet up in canon. I think Bookie2988 said that because of this type of gameplay, you were already tossing that comment out the window that there was no really realism anyway. But why not? You know, it's a game. It wasn't really canon anyway. So it's just bullshit from somebody that doesn't really know anything, and he's just upset that they lost $3 billion. And it's just, he's just trying to cover his own ass. And it was like, well, and they're trying to shift blame on the company that kind of made this, saying, oh, they only had this many people. Yet again, there are probably companies out there that did way better for less, or with less people. And then you had roughly about the same time, pardon me, had to take a drink. I know some of you hate that, but again, I'm working on a rough throat, so I need to drink a little bit more. We had a little bit of an instance with Destiny. Yay! Destiny, my favorite game to shit on. Basically, what happened was, this again, good old Reddit. A person on Reddit who loved playing Destiny kind of noticed something odd with Destiny. It wasn't the usual bullshit that a lot of people have been bitching about. This was something completely new. And this particular person realized that when they played certain matches, they were seemingly getting less XP than what was shown. And in other aspects, they were gaining more XP than what was being shown. And he did the math and realized, yeah, he was right. Or she was right that Destiny was throttling XP in matches that you could quickly gain XP. And I should say it was throttling all that XP in like public events and stuff that you got massive XP in. And in areas where you weren't getting that much XP, it was giving you more XP as a way to balance. And then they complained, and they pointed it out. And Destiny said, pretty much instead of saying, oh, no, you're wrong. No, this isn't happening in our game. Our game is perfect. No, they pretty much said, yeah, that's what's happening. But the thing is, the reason why it was doing this is because once you hit a certain limit, you got like in Halo or a lot of other games, when you hit a certain limit or you hit a certain criteria, sometimes you get a loot box or a loot crate. In Destiny, it's engrams. Like in Call of Duty, you hit a certain level or you achieve certain goals that day, you get a loot crate. Like Battlefront or other games, you hit a certain milestone, you're able to purchase a loot crate. Sometimes you earn it through grinding. Other times you can use real world currency. In Destiny was no different. So basically, through grinding, through public events, and through like what they call raids, like the raid missions and the player versus player and the crucibles, or which are kind of or the strikes, which are in essence mini raids, so to speak. If you hit your XP or you bumped up to the next level, you got a bright engram. And that contained usually a type of shaders or some extremely rare emotes or stuff like that. But you could also purchase these bright engrams as well for $5, $10, $15, depending on the increments. But the thing is, with these bright engrams, let me put it like this, to explain Destiny, you have three types of currency. One type of currency is that you could spend at certain locations, like the gun shop, you could buy a few basic shaders and so forth and so on. Or you could go to certain people on Titan or the farm or where have you, and buy guns and shields and armor for your character for a certain price. Then you have, I think it's called, there's a next level where you could get something through the shop that sells you get your bright engram decoded at. But the thing is, in some cases with your bright engram, you got that particular currency in with it. So not only did you get that, I should say this is where it gets kind of confusing. When you purchase a bright engram, there's a chance you get a certain amount of this in-between currency sometimes, which allows you to buy at this particular store exact shaders and emotes, which means, let's call it Dolans, or let's call it wooden. Let's, for the sake of, because I haven't played Destiny in a long time, in a few weeks, let's call it wooden nickels. All right, you earn a bright engram. Let's say you earned 500 wooden nickels. And with those 500 wooden nickels, this particular vendor, you're able to purchase an exotic emote, a few shaders, or even a token that you're able to use with your fire team, which means if you and a bunch of friends are playing Destiny together, that hey, let me drop this token, and there's a chance you could earn, not so much a chance, but the token says you'll be earning increased XP for you and your fire team, up to double, sometimes triple that XP. So, that being said, not only do you earn these wooden nickels by earning through XP bright engrams, you can also get these wooden nickels by purchasing engrams. And let me go back for a second. That Reddit user has the calculations that this person put out stated that when you're just playing by yourself, the throttle was, at best, 5% of whatever was being shown on screen. At the throttle, 5%. If you used that token that you purchased at that particular Bright Engram shop, it went up as high as 10%. Not the triple, not the double, like it said, only 10%. So, in essence, what some people, because of this, they're saying, hey, wait a minute, this is false advertising. Whether or not they could legally do anything is yet to be seen, or if anything will be done to companies like Bungie in this case and Activision for this type of ordeal, whether it can be considered fraud or false advertising, because people have been using real-life currency to buy these engrams for special shaders or seasonal shaders, and thus, you know, because Bungie was, in essence, at this point, lying, they've come out, even though they have come out and said, yeah, well, that's what's going on, but their version of correcting this problem was, instead of keeping things the same, but just taking away that throttle issue, they decided, okay, we'll take away the throttling issue, but instead of going from one level, it taking 60,000 experience points, to go from one level to the next, it's going to take 160,000 XP. So, that being the case, they're just doing this so you could spend even more money on the engrams. And that's still what a lot of people are pissed off about, is that they initially did this to get people to spend more money on, real-life money on the engrams, but instead of saying, sorry, we understand, we're going to fix this, even though, whether or not we're going to refund your money or give you extra engrams or so forth and so on, that's the best way we could do things, they said, no, we're just going to, you know, we're going to fix it, but we're going to make sure that it takes you a hell of a lot longer to earn, that way you still will spend on us $5, $10, $15 a week or a month on engrams and still give us money, because, you know, that's how we want things, and that's how it's good. Best thing we could do is, as gamers, as people who are very frugal or very smart with their money, is, you know, one thing, bitch. Two, don't, you know, if you really want to play the game, don't buy the loot boxes. Avoid them. Get your friends to avoid them. It's voting with your wallet. I do encourage you to vote with your wallet. Please, you know, if you don't want to spend money on loot boxes, don't spend money on loot boxes. If you feel that it's going to hurt your multiplayer experience, but the game does allow you to have custom matches with friends, go that route. Or if it allows you to play with a friend or a bunch of friends through the campaign, do that. You know, that's what it's there for. Or if it's in the game, do that. Some have stated that, you know, that being said, have been put out that a lot of people are saying that, hey, multiplayer is the way to go. I've been noticing this trend for a little while, that more and more multiplayer, more games are gearing up towards the multiplayer, but and leaving the campaign behind, or shortening the campaign to 2 or 3 hours, and just so people could either, who love the campaign, are going straight to multiplayer. To me, that's bad. I love the campaigns like a bunch of other people. I like Boogie 2988. You know, he likes the story campaign. So do I. It's that aspect. I'm noticing that the campaign is a secondary thought in a lot of games. For like Destiny and to me, not Bioshock, Borderlands, the prequel was like that. The sequel was not so much like that, but the prequel was kind of like that. I got hints that they were pushing that you should be playing this with friends. But Destiny is kind of like that, even though you could easily beat it with solo on a few little bit. Even though in a few days, Bungie will be releasing their first DLC for Destiny, which I don't think that many people will be going back to Destiny for that DLC. I don't know if I'll be downloading the DLC because, as stated in last week's episode, I just got the equivalent of like 5 or 6 new games and that I want to play and I want to get through, and at least for at least maybe 1 to 5 of them, I might want to stream through Mixer. I'm still deciding on that. I'm still hinting on that. If you want to see me stream on Mixer for those games or any game for that matter, please let me know by contacting me on Twitch at Longcoat Mafia or on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheLongcoatMafiaPodcast, or through our email, which is longcoatmafia@gmail.com, and let me know. And once I settle down on a yes or no, I will easily hop in. I'll release the link to our Mixer profile and let you know when I'm starting to stream. At least during the month of December, it might be on a Thursday or Friday night, because that's when I'm currently off. After the holidays, it might be either possibly a Saturday, Sunday, or Monday night. I'll have to see. So, but for now, who knows? I'm just testing the waters. Also, that being said, today, I won't say today, as of this recording, I put up a video on our YouTube channel. I'll put a link in the description as to where to find it. Our first unboxing video in several months, because today we got, as of this recording, I managed to pick up a NES Classic or an NES Mini, which is very tiny. Sorry about that, folks. Again, it's about 4 inches wide. It looks like a classic console. It comes with about 21 games in it, a lot of which I want to play. Like, I need more games. You've probably seen the picture of it, or at least the box, on our Instagram page, which is also Long Coat Mafia. I do say, like I said, I'm the kind of person that says something like this is great for the casual retro gamer, not the diehard type of ordeal. I know a lot of you out there are like, well, you got to get a retro pie. I'm not that kind of person. I'm a slacker. This is me getting something like this is easy. It's quick. It's simple. All I have to do is plug and play. I don't have to deal with the fucking getting a Raspberry Pi. I don't have to deal with finding the right ROMs. I don't have to find dealing with what the best emulator is, or whether the ROMs have to work with that emulator or not, or finagling which ROM will be able to work right, or this, that, and the other thing, or something like that. You know, something like this I got without a freaking scalper. Last one at our GameStop. So, like I said, it comes with I think I read the list off when it was first announced. Comes with like Contra 3, Donkey Kong Country, Earthbound, Final Fantasy 3, F-Zero, Super Mario RPG, Super Mario Kart, Super Mario World, Yoshi's Island, Link to the Past, Super Metroid, and many others. It even comes with Star Fox 2, but according to the box, this was told by Nintendo months ago too, that in order to access Star Fox 2, you have to beat the first stage of Star Fox, which means you're getting a bonus game. And like I said, 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21 games, including Star Fox 2. for $80, you can't go wrong, and it's cheaper than getting a Nintendo Switch. Some people have stated who've had a Nintendo Wii or Nintendo U that these games cost $5 a piece. That's over $100, so you're saving $20 right there. You're saving the cost of a console and everything else. So I got to deal with all this now. I finally get to dig into Earthbound and Secret of Mana and Punch Out and wanting to play Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past again and all this fun stuff. I doubt I'll be able to stream this on Mix, but still. That's it for now. No real news. Probably, who knows what's going to happen next week. If a lot of news comes out next week, I might do another rant episode like this one. But I'll have to see. Until then, you guys and gals, have a great week. Stop by next week. Check our YouTube channel. Subscribe to that. Don't forget, if you haven't subscribed to us on iTunes, Apple Podcast, / Apple Podcast, or Google Play Music, please do so. It helps us out, especially if you want use the Podbean app. Subscribe to us that way. And all, if you're listening to us on through the Podbean app and you subscribe to us on the Podbean app, thank you so much. I know there's over close to 700 of you on Podbean that are following us, and I don't think you all have been listening yet, but if you are, thank you so much. If you subscribe to us on either iTunes or Google Play Music, thank you. If you just listen to us through the website, thank you. Please continue to do so. If I'm able to get close to six, let's see, what are we up to right now? I'm gonna announce it right now. Let's see, what are we up to? What are our total numbers right now? I'm not shy in saying what our total numbers are right now. Let's pull those numbers up. Let's see. Site is loading. What is our... we're up to... Why is it going down? That funky-ass Android. Let's see. Our total numbers are 15,915. So I am going to say this, folks. If by the end of the year, if we are able to hit 16,100 total listeners, I will, in fact, do a polar, what's called a polar bear type of ordeal, first snowfall. That's right. I'll go outside in a tank top and shorts and like 30 degree weather when there's snow on the ground, and literally do a polar bear thing on YouTube, and I'll post it on Facebook. That way it shows my appreciation that I'm willing to do a stupid ass stunt, providing we hit 16,100 total listeners for our show. By the end of the year, that means as of December 31st, 2017, you have until 11:59, December 31st, Eastern Standard Time. I ain't doing this Pacific shit. Eastern Standard Time, December 31st, 2017, if we're able to hit 16,100 total listeners, I will do a polar bear stunt, first snowfall. Whatever the snowfall is on the ground, I will do a polar bear stunt, which means just basic shorts and a tank top, and a tank top. Nothing special. I will do that as a polar bear stunt. I have a stream in my backyard. I might I do plan on getting a GoPro-ish type camera. I will go down to that stream. I will, in the snow, I will go into the stream. I'll do that too. So, the whole nine yards, the whole polar bear, if we get 16,100 total listeners by 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on December 31st. So spread the word. Yes, I will do. Hold me to that promise. I will do that stupid stunt. Till then, again, follow us on iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes / Apple Podcasts, listen to us there, listen to us on Google Play Music, listen to us using the Podbay, and speaking of the Podbay, Podbean app, that allows you to listen to us on various smart devices like, I think, Alexa and the Amazon device, too. So check your smart device, like Alexa and or whatever the Amazon thing is. Not to mention, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, which is facebook.com/ The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. If you prefer to listen to our show through the website, our website is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And yes, I do understand Podbean was down once or twice over the past week or two. The issues as far as what Podbean has told me and the other thousands of Podbean users or creators, the problems have been fixed. It won't happen again. So therefore, please listen, share. So on. What else? Our Twitter handle is Longcoat Mafia. Our Instagram handle is also Longcoat Mafia, so feel free to stalk us on those fine platforms. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts / iTunes. It does help us a little bit, as well as if you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts / iTunes or Google Play Music. As soon as I post an episode, you get the episode. Because if you don't, you might have to wait until later Monday or Tuesday, if not Wednesday, to catch our episodes through those media outlets. But if you go straight to our website, as soon as the episode is dropped on Monday, you're able to get it through the website. But I do recommend using a subscribable app like Podbean or Stitcher Radio or Google Play Music or Apple Podcasts. And that being said, I am out. I'm ranted and raved too much about this and other things. I'll catch you on the flip side and next week, folks. Take care.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.